What's up, beautiful people, and welcome to Inside Out Empowerment, where we are examining the science of personal excellence through the very real experience of today's most powerful thinkers, professional athletes, and the world's greatest entrepreneurs. We learn the mechanisms for designing the life and the results of our dreams, starting from the inside out. I'm entrepreneur Joshua Nussbaum and your host. Just watch me now.
Give me the macro on you. What are you up to? What are you hustling towards? What's your deal right now? What are you working at?
Yeah. So basically, I'm the CEO and founder of a company called Nutrition Solutions. We're a national lifestyle meal preparation service. Basically, what we do is we do customized meal plans catered and customized towards people's goals, right? Whether you're trying to lose weight, build muscle, or just be healthier, live well. We essentially prepare meal plans for people looking to crush their goals. And doing this since 2011 when I started it, what it was then. And yeah, there you go. My man, savage, straight liquid egg whites.
We're on a video call right now, and you just started going into like meal prepping and hitting your macros, and I'm like drinking straight egg whites out of a carton right now.
Pounding
it was appropriate.
Very
raw. 50 grams of protein to the dome, you know?
Yeah. But basically, what it was when I started it, what it, it is now, night and day, right? I started it, I was in Jacksonville, Florida. I used to be a drug dealer for a number of years.
What kind of drugs?
Not the good ones. I sold steroids for a number of years. So, of course, I wasn't selling meth to elementary school kids or anything like that. Either way, still illegal, still unethical. I'm not trying to minimize it, but just a different thing. You know what I mean? Basically, I got to a point where I just got disgusted with that lifestyle, got disgusted with myself, got tired of living a lie. Josh, to be honest with you, I knew I had to make some changes. I didn't know exactly what I was going to do or how I was going to do it, but I knew that if I didn't start making some changes, then I would be in a very, very dark place in a short period of time. Drug dealers hang out with other drug dealers. And around that time, several of my friends had, gotten in trouble. And, one of my closest friends at that time actually had just gotten sent to prison. I mean, It was public knowledge what I was doing. Everybody knew what I was doing. I wasn't like a low key drug dealer, like living in a trailer, driving around a 98 Taurus. During that 7 years I was doing that, I was out partying every fucking night. I was the man about town. I had a fluorescent orange Lamborghini.
Okay, subtle.
Right, very bright, exactly. Not exactly what you think of when you're trying to go under the radar and you're lacking employment at that time. So I just didn't give a fuck, man. Like I was a different person then, but like I said, I got to a point where I know I needed to make some changes. People around me were going down and I just started to feel it inside. I knew that very soon the fucking bottom was going to fall out and I would either, be in prison or be dead or, whatever the case is. So a good friend of mine who I also consider a mentor gave me some of the best life-changing advice that I've ever gotten. At this point, I was about 28 at that time. He told me I needed to do two things. He said that I needed to start surrounding myself with people who were better than me, and I needed to start listening, reading, and just saturating myself in personal development. At the time, I was a drug dealer. So my days consisted of sleeping till 1 p.m., getting up, going to the gym, going out partying 5-6 days a week. So I had a tremendous amount of time on my hands. So I started reading books. I was reading a lot of books and watching a lot of YouTube videos. This was back in, like I said, 2011. Tony Robbins was like the first mentor, virtual mentor. And I basically watched every minute of content that he had at that time. Just started listening to some of the things that he was saying. I mean, I don't think anybody would do it bigger or better than, he does. One of his fundamental principles is, if you want to be successful, find someone who's doing what you want to do and model what they're doing, right? Straightforward. This guy, one of the things that he did to turn his life around and start getting better and start moving forward was giving back, doing things to serve other people selflessly. So I heard what the guy's saying. I'm like, well, I want to be like him. So let me do the shit that he's doing. So I started getting involved in the community. And honestly, at that time, that stuff wasn't important to me. Like I said, I'd never done it before. So how could it be, right? But started going and volunteering at different homeless shelters, churches, serving the homeless, just doing things that like I could get involved in to give back in some way. And that was a massive turning point for my life. And this took me down a whole other path. I realized quickly that, you know, not only was I there just to help those who were in need, but I was there to help myself, to heal myself. And it just gave me a overwhelming sense of just gratitude and just perspective. And, you know, from that point on, I essentially dedicated my life to personal development and philanthropy. And, you know, an opportunity came about to start this company, and it started out of pure necessity. Like I was a meathead. I like working out, like to look good naked. And I don't know how to cook. I still don't know how to cook. I didn't have the time, the desire, or the willingness to cook. And I just saw a void there. And I just capitalized off that opportunity. And, you know, we've been going strong ever since.
Got it. So let's back up a couple of steps. You were 28 years old.
Yeah, 35 now.
And slinging drugs or gear, at least, right? And what was going on besides for your buddies going to jail that was not serving you as a human being? Like, I know what you mean when you say like being in a dark place or the emptiness or the whatever, but elaborate on that a little, because I feel like a lot of the time people need to get to a spot where they're fucking motivated enough. My buddy Joe, I have a Rev Labs athlete in from Florida. Say what up to Joey.
What up, Joey? How you doing, man?
He can't hear you. This is Chris. Anyway, I feel like the times that I've made really hardcore changes or shifts, and I think it's a kind of a common thread, is you have to be really, to make a huge change, you have to be not like a little bit fed up, not like kind of wanting something else. You need like an egregious fucking I am fed up feeling, right? So, I mean,
I got to a point where I was just physically, mentally, and emotionally disgusted with myself, disgusted with my life. I lived a lie for a lot of years, right? When you meet new people, it's a formality. Hey, how you doing? My name is so-and-so. Oh, what do you do? So, you know, I had a story that I would tell at that point. And I would say, you know, around the 15,000th time telling that bullshit story, when the words came out of my mouth, I felt something that I'd never felt before. And I realized that, like, fuck this. I needed to change. I wanted to change. I got sick of living a lie. I wasn't feeling good about myself. I felt like a fucking lowlife. I didn't really give you like a backstory, but I didn't have a real traditional childhood. You know, I was arrested 17 times prior to my 18th birthday. My mother had
I read that, and I was like, I don't really care what he's doing now. I just kind of want to hear that fucking story. You got any good ones?
So I was arrested 17 times prior to my 18th birthday. I was also arrested a lot of times after that too, but that's the compelling statistic, 17 prior to my 18th birthday. You know, like I said, I had an unorthodox childhood. You know, my mom had me when she was 16. She was a drug addict, had a lot of problems. My father took off when she was pregnant with me. You know, he didn't want to deal with that. I can't blame the guy. He was young too. Just as a result of some of the...
I like that about you.
What's that?
Not carrying the chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
You can't blame the guy. He was a human and he was young too and was probably fucking scared and didn't know how the fuck to handle it. Like, I just didn't hear a lot of like resentment or excuse in your voice.
That's a sad thing that unfortunately most people always look for a reason to be upset about something and aggravated, pissed off, resentful. It's like people do the best that they fucking can. You know, it's not like he was like the dad from the Brady Bunch with all these other kids and then just decided to turn, you know, his back on me. Like, he did what he thought he had to do at that point. And I can't fault him for that. The reality of it is my life has been my life. And like, I'm very, very fortunate to be where I am today. I'm working to get better. Every experience that I've went through, everything that I've encountered is a result of kind of the product that, like, you know, you see here today. And had one thing been fucking different, like, who knows what path I might have, you know what I'm saying? So like, the reality of it is, man, like, you know, coming up, I had some problems. I had some behavior problems. I had some temperamental problems, anger issues. And that's kind of what, you know, landed me in a position where I started getting in trouble. And like, you know, with my circumstances, Josh, the National Center for Health Statistics actually reports that I had a 63% chance that I'd commit suicide, a 75% chance that I'd end up becoming a drug addict, and a 90% chance that I end up being homeless, right? Those are like real fucking numbers. And the reality of it is, like, I was definitely heading down that path. I was getting in trouble all the fucking time. My senior year in high school, the state of Massachusetts, I'm from Boston. That's where I grew up. That's where I went to school. State of Massachusetts got sick of seeing me in the courtroom. They basically gave me an ultimatum. They said that I could either go to jail for 7 months or join the military. So naturally, I shipped out and joined the military. Spent the next 5 years of my life, five of the most exciting years of my life as a Navy deep sea diver in one of the most communities, arguably all the military. I was the youngest person from the day that I checked in to the day that I got out of the military. So I had the privilege, very, very talented, experienced, high profile individuals that essentially kind of took me under their wing and not only, you know, showed me how to be a good sailor, but how to be a better human being. They helped instill discipline in me. They helped teach me about standards and taking pride and attention to detail and that type of thing. And it was time to get out. And I did. I got out of the military and exited a life where I essentially had structure. You know, in the military, they tell you where to be, when to be there, what to wear, like how to stand. Like I went from having all the structure to once again, not having any structure. And I kind of started to flip, deviate, you know, kind of back to some of my old ways of thinking, some of my old ways of operating, and found myself working in a strip club, which, you know, most people think, like, oh, that's so fucking cool. You work in a strip club, hot chicks. Everyone's like, no, it was horrible. Like,
it's a real quick way to degenerate.
Dude, totally. And I was just, I had a chip on my shoulder there. I was getting fights all the time, working, like just drinking while I was working, just to deal with the shittiness of the atmosphere. I hated working in the strip club so much that I subsequently quit to become a drug dealer. You know what I'm saying? That's the honest to God truth. And that's how I got on the path of selling steroids and then just, you know, started making quick, easy cash. Just didn't give a fuck. You know, it was just out partying, enjoying my life, what I thought was enjoying my life at the time. And then, you know, like I said, it got to a point where I knew I was put on this planet to serve a higher purpose. I knew that. That was something I used to say. I just really had no fucking idea what that was or how I went about bridging that gap. That's what the personal development did for me. I mean, to this day, I do at least 1 hour of personal development every day, whether that's an audiobook, reading a book, like listening to an informative podcast, like a blog, watching, you know, some sort of informative, you know, video online. I do it every day. And like, you know, I went from being a drug dealer, arrested 17 times prior to my 18th birthday to, you know, have been featured in Forbes magazine 4 times to this point. And I'm sticking to what has worked, what allowed me to exit my old life of being a drug dealer and just start to be like a just normal whatever to where I am now is the personal development, man. Everybody wants that big secret, the shortcut, like they want to know like the little tricks and the hacks. Dude, that's what it is. You've got to learn the shit that you don't know from the people who are crushing it at the absolute highest level. Learn that shit and then implement it in your life and your circumstances will change and continue to change. That's it.
That's fucking, dude, you hit the nail on the head. So I've always been a voracious reader, which is funny because I'm not a very good reader, but I've always read a lot. I mean, that's why, like, dude, podcasting and YouTube fucking changed the game for me so fucking hard. I mean, like, you know, motivational Instagram posts are one thing, but like when you can like actually deep dive.
Yeah. Practical action steps and tangibles. I get it.
Right. Where it teaches you a little bit more of like, not just like the philosophical of like, keep a good attitude, but like the actual fucking mechanics of like this piece connecting to this piece, connecting to this piece. I was like, holy fuck. Like I can't get enough of it. So I read a book when I was a young kid from Jim Rohn. And he said, spend more time on yourself than you do on your job. You know, this self-help shit. And or it used to be called self-help. Now it's personal development or whatever has become a cool thing. I grew up in this world. I went to my first Tony Robbins seminar when I was like 14 years old.
Really? You know?
Yeah. I mean, full blown, like the whole like mind over matter, like, you know, flew out to Colorado Springs and like walk on fire type. Fuck. I mean,
UPW, unleash the power within.
Unleash the power within. That's exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I think
that was one of the things. That was like one of the fucking things that started getting me thinking, like, okay, you know what? Maybe there is better for me out there. Maybe I won't be a fucking loser. Maybe I can actually do, like, maybe I can just start doing things that I need to do to change my life. And that was one of the things that really made me believe that it was possible. And that's really what it comes down to is belief, right? You know, people, like, I had this idea in my head that because my childhood went like this, because I didn't have a traditional family or support system, because I've been in trouble fucking 5,000 times, that I would never be able to do, you know, fill in the blank. I'd never be able to be successful, never really have a job or a career that I was proud of, never be able to have a meaningful relationship because, like, you know, I had issues with women because of my mother. These are fucking stories that I told myself. And honestly, the funny thing is, like, I think when I first started saying that stuff, it's like, I knew it was bullshit, but that was the easy thing to do, like make an excuse as to why I couldn't do this, why I, you know, couldn't that. But then when you start to say those things over and over again, you tell yourself something enough times, eventually you start believing it or believing in it. And that's exactly what happened. I convinced myself, dude, and it's 100% factual. And unfortunately, human beings tend to, you know, they tend to go with the negative narrative as opposed to the latter, when it takes just the same amount of energy to point out the reasons of why you can do something, why you have to. And instead of saying, like, you know, that, well, because, you know, I was in and out of foster homes and group homes, because I was arrested so many times, because, like, you know, I was subjected to abuse. Instead of saying, like, okay, I can't do this and I can't do that because of that stuff, I changed the narrative to, well, because I went through that, this is why I have to. There's a lot of people that I have to prove wrong. There's a lot of people that I have to show, people that have been through way worse than me, or people that are, you know, dealt with the same. I have to show them that it's possible. I take on that responsibility. And I want to show people that your past does not dictate your present or your future, unless you allow it to.
Yeah, or if you say so, right? Like, you're Henry Ford, if you say you can or you say you can't, you're right. It's the same fucking thing with, there's no such thing as good or bad, right? There's not like this event was good or this event was bad, right? You know, I talk about like Steve Jobs getting fired from Apple, which at the time, right, very fucking bad. He got like publicly ousted from his own company that he started in a very publicly and embarrassing way, which led to him starting Next, which led to him starting Pixar and CGI and developing all this fucking stuff that has revolutionized the way things are. And then when Apple bought Next, he became the CEO of Apple again with unchecked power in the product development sector, which is what he hated about it before. So it's like, dude, was him getting ousted by the board a good or a bad thing? Because Pixar wouldn't have existed. We wouldn't have had Toy Story, and we all know how much Liz loves Woody. And he wouldn't have had the ability or the freedom to be able to develop the fucking iPhone, the iPod, etc. So is it good or is it bad? I don't know. I guess it's more like what you fucking tell yourself about it. It's like you go to a guy filled with resentment. It's like, hey, why do you beat your wife? Why do you, you know, why are you a raging alcoholic? Why are you making so many bad decisions? And like, I never got fucking love as a kid. My dad beat me. How could I be anything different? Da, da, da. You go to his brother that grew up in the same exact scenario, and you're like, dude, why are you so fucking kind to your kids and such an amazing fucking leader and showing people by example how to be amazing? He's like, dude, because I grew up, I was like beaten and deprived of love, and I know what that fucking feels like, and I refuse to be that way, right? So it's what you do with it.
You know, unfortunately, most people are contaminated by their peers, by their surroundings, by the way that they grew up and the thought processes and thoughts and ways that they were led to believe the world is and is always going to be. And they've just been conditioned psychologically to think that, okay, well, this is how it's going to be. It's like, no, like, that's actually not how it's going to be, because you can do what you need to do to change that narrative. By the way, that is the key to happiness in life. The key to happiness in life is progress. That's it. Yeah. Dude, everybody wants to be happy. That's the American dream. The key to happiness is progress. It's not a certain dollar amount in a bank account, not an exotic, not a house, not a relationship. It's making progress, brother.
Yeah. I mean, look, the one true sign of life is growth, right? Any living organism has cells that are growing, replicating, reproducing. The same is true, you know, proverbially as well, if we're not striving. I mean, that's like the whole brand, like Rev Labs, you look, right? It's got two arrows in the logo. It stands for upward movement. And that's what the brand stands for, is relentless motherfucking progress. So a lot of brands are, especially in the fucking fitness world, are focused on being elite. You know, they're focused on being the best, the most gangster with the biggest athletes. And dude, center stage at Olympia, I got, you know, this is our guy, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, if you weigh 200 pounds and you used to weigh 400 pounds, you are just as fucking much part of this fucking movement of relentless progress and upward movement as Jeremy Buendia standing center stage at Olympia. Point blank. You know what I'm saying? Literally, you know, Jim Rohn said, work harder on yourself than you do at your job. I don't know that I do that because I work fucking relentlessly at my jobs and at my businesses. But like, you know, I'm speaking and I'll speak at the same event and then I'll like year after year. And people are like, dude, your message is fucking like, how have you learned so much between last year and this year? And your message has changed so much on the same platform, on the same subject of branding through this platform, or of like growing and driving sales through this platform, speaking on pay-per-click in the diet space on Amazon or on, you know, eBay or on, you know, Facebook video or whatever. And I'm like, motherfucker, because I am reading every single press release that comes out from Instagram and from Facebook, every single fucking thing Amazon puts out, I'm reading. And if I don't understand something about it, I will look up the way that thing works that they reference so that I can understand what they're saying about that piece of it. And not because I fucking like reading. And this, by the way, is stuff that's like high level enough that there is not like a YouTube video that's like, this is how blah, blah, blah works, which is how so much of it is, which God bless it, because that's where I started when I'm like, migrating my fucking storefront from like Magento to Shopify. I'm looking at those like how to set up a product in Shopify 101 on fucking YouTube, right? So there's nothing wrong with those videos. But once you climb past a certain level, you got to be like preening through shit to like get people that understand. And a lot of the time you have to go direct to the platform that is releasing it. And their customer service person that answers doesn't even understand. You have to talk to the developer who did the release to be able to understand that, like, dude, if you're just in a place and you want to improve any aspect of your life, there's no such thing as too busy. If I can be sitting here with dual monitors, listening to shit and digging to talk to some fucking guy in some other country, staying up until the UK is awake to be like, can you explain to me exactly how Amazon Web Services is using the cloud to be able to populate the data so I know where I need to store it? Would it help if I migrated it to da da da? And I'm not even a fucking tech guy. I just want to be able to hang.
I get it. I think people get confused about what the work, what you just described, that's the work. People think that, you know, their 9 to 5, the activity, or their body physically being in their business, in their company, at their desk, that's the work. And like, dude, that is not the work. The work, the things that move the needle of your life, or what happens when you're not in the workplace, the time that you're putting into personal development, the books you're reading, the connections that you're making, the research you're doing. Like, you can get better two ways. Right? Experience or training. It is your responsibility to train yourself to get better, move up there, and, you know, business and in life.
So what personal development stuff were you doing that made the switch? I mean, Tony Robbins and starting like the personal development path gave you the permission or the realization or created enough space that like there was a shift and you started moving in that direction. And by the way, like that's like a laser into space, right? So like you change your path by 2 degrees, follow that one out far enough. And like the points are, you can't even see them, right? It's like looking through a fucking telescope. And it's like, those two stars look like they're touching. And they're like, yeah, they're actually like 400 million light years away from each other. It's just, you know what I mean? You have to follow the path long enough. So there's no such thing as like, you know, dropping a fucking bomb and you're like at that point, right? You just, all you do is like relentless progress. If you like from wherever you are, make that big of a deviation and enough of those and, you know, eventually going that far out. So that's what started you on the path. What, I guess, mechanical pieces did you start to plug in? Not just philosophically, but like pragmatically that you were able to like pull out of theory and into practice that, I mean, look, you're a guy that produces results. Like you say, I said I was a drug dealer. I didn't say I was a good drug dealer. I mean, I beg to differ. If you could afford a fucking Lamborghini, yeah, and you were, I'm just saying, I don't know if like what classifies a good drug dealer or a bad drug dealer, but you strike me as a guy that produces and you clearly were good enough with people.
It's so funny that you say this because there's a lot of things that I did as a drug dealer from a customer service standpoint that I've carried over and have incorporated into my business from a legitimate front.
Look, I've read, not saying from personal experience, but I would imagine customer service and drug dealing is very important.
Well, you know.
Well, fuck, maybe I am speaking from a little bit of personal experience.
I mean, if you want repeat customers, I mean, basically I would say, I mean, there's so many things that I've educated myself and continue to educate myself on. There's two that I think stand out, you know, more than anything, and that would be the importance of self-discipline, okay? And that of accepting personal responsibility over every area of your life. That would probably be the biggest one. We live in a world, in a society where people think that things are just going to happen to them instead of realizing that they have to go and make shit happen. You have to take responsibility over everything. You know, you have to take responsibility over the good things. You have to take responsibility over the bad. You may have had some bad shit happen to you, right? You may have had parents that beat you. You may have had like an ex that fucked you over and cheated on you and broke your heart. You may have had some really horrible fucking things that have happened to you.
Have you been reading about me?
No, you may have had some really bad things happen, you know, throughout your lifetime, right? The reality of it is, although you may not be able to control what happened, you absolutely control the way you react and respond to it, okay? Instead of, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, my parents did this, didn't hug me enough, or, you know, I got abused and my ex fucked me over and this, that, like, you have to realize that your parents did as good of a job as they possibly could with you. And that's a very hard fucking thing for people to understand. Like, I don't hold resentment against, you know, my mom, my dad, or any of the bad people that were a part of some of the bad experiences that I had coming up, because I realized it wasn't personal. Their problem wasn't with me. Their problem was with themselves. And when I learned to let go of that and accept responsibility over my future, my outlook, my perspective, the entire fucking world, like, I can go the other way, Josh, and say, well, you know, this happened to me, so I will never fill in the blank. And it's fucking bullshit. It's lies. It's weakness.
You know what I always say? I always say, if you say so. I'm bad with confrontation. If you say so. I'm not a sales guy. If you say so.
Yeah, I mean, look, the reality of it is, you know, if you're someone who went through hardship coming up, and, you know, you were abused, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, sexually, those are all horrible, horrible things. Like, I don't wish that upon anybody. I know what it's like to have to go through all that. And I know what it's like to hold that animosity, to hold that anger and that energy inside, and have it contaminate every fucking area of my life, every relationship, every situation that I go into. And then when you realize that what happened, it couldn't have happened any other way. It's not your fault. And honestly, it's not their fault either. It's your life. It is your responsibility to pick up the fucking pieces and move forward. Okay. There's a lot of other people who have it a lot worse than you, myself. And, you know, the reality of it is there's people who have been through some very, very fucked up situations, and they're crushing it now, because instead of using their, you know, stories as a reason to, you know, be a fucking loser for the rest of their life and just contaminate the world with negative energy and, you know, that poor me stuff, they're out inspiring people and helping people produce positive, lasting change by showing them that it is fucking possible.
What's that like?
What do you mean?
Because that's exactly what the fuck you're doing.
Yeah,
you're saying there's people out there that have had fucked up shit happen to them, and now they're taking responsibility and fucking producing results and helping other people do the same. I'm like, yeah, what's that like?
Yeah. I mean, I know that, you know, on paper, I've been through some things that are considered by society like bad, right? But I also know that there are people out there who've had it so much fucking worse, so much worse. And honestly, I want to take responsibility over being the one to show them that, you know what? Like, yeah, you may have went through this, but there is a path forward. I'm going to show you what that is. But you got to take action. You have to change your mindset. You have to accept responsibility over the future and take responsibility over your life. And, you know, unfortunately, that's it's a very difficult thing to do, because it's very easy to make excuses as to why you can't do something that's really fucking hard. And a lot of people, unfortunately, do that because that's the way that they get their significance and they get, you know, attention. And it's not exactly a winning strategy, but it's the easy way. It's a lot harder than doing the fucking work to bridge the gap between where you're at and where you want to be.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm gonna like reframe what you said for a second, because I think people say a lot of the time that's the easy way out. And I don't think that it's easier to do that. I think it's immediately easier to do that. But like, dude, water always meets the level where it's at, right? If you splash in a pool and you make noise or you like create an action, the water still like levels out in the pool. So like if you do something, like if you take what you're referring to as like the easy way out and you ignore your rent check or you ignore your bill, that doesn't make your fucking life easier. you that the water, when it levels and meets itself, is the repercussion of that thing. Where you where like in the long run, like I wake up, you know, I'm like, I feel like fucking a million goddamn dollars right now because I got 6 hours of sleep. That's like a rare, that's a rare thing for me, is 6 hours, which is bad and I don't recommend. I think sleep is really fucking important. It just
super important. That's another episode. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, exactly. And like I woke up and I'm just like fucking exploding with stuff that I want to like jump on all at once, because I'm like looking around at the things that I've done like proactively instead of reactively. And I think it's just a shift where like, it's not like put in the work, do the stuff. It's like, dude, you are going to have to fucking put in the effort at some point for that shit. It's just where you allocate it. And if you train yourself to put in the work on the front end, the result is going to be reaping the reward and getting to put in the effort of like, I should probably learn how to invest a couple fucking million dollars and how to like place this money properly. And that's what you're putting the follow-up effort into, instead of I'm dodging the 31st call from this same fucking bill collector, or I have to show up in court or I lose by default. Both of those things take effort. One is just front loaded. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And the issue is when you take that, you know, that road where you decide to ignore these problems, not only does it catch up with you, it catches up with you in abundance. With not only that issue, at that point, there are other compounded issues that have organically built up over time. And it's going to fucking happen at the worst possible time for you. It doesn't happen when you want it to. It happens, that goes wrong, and every other fucking thing. It's just Murphy's Law. You know what I mean? You have to confront
your That's life. Anything that will go wrong, for those of you that don't know.
Yeah, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. You have to confront life's problems immediately and aggressively. That's the only way to fucking do it. That's the only way to do it, immediately and aggressively, because throughout the history of mankind, there hasn't been a fucking problem that has materialized that has just went away on its own. Don't happen. As convenient as that would be for us, it doesn't fucking happen. You know, you get a bill collector calling you, pick up the call. Explain to them your situation. You're a little behind on bills. Let them know. Let them know what your plan is. Set up some sort of payment plan and let them know that, you know what, I want to keep in communication with you. I want to pay this off. If there's anything that you can do to work out some sort of plan, I would really appreciate it. I'm going to work some extra hours. I can pay X amount per week until it's paid off. And dude, not only would that bill collector be more than happy to work with you, you're going to feel so much fucking better inside and not get that stress and anxiety when that fucking number comes across the fucking phone, which that will just fuck up your entire fucking day from that point. And people, and that scenario can apply to literally any issue.
And dude, competence breeds confidence, right? Like if you are doing things that you are not proud of, like, you know, build self-esteem, esteemful acts. If you are behaving and doing something that contains cognitive dissonance or practices cognitive dissonance, a deviation from what you know and feel is best. And we all fucking do it, right? This isn't about being a goddamn saint. It's like, you know, you make your decision, and to the extent that you deviate from the way that you know you should or would like to handle it, but for your lack of knowingness or lack of motivation or lack of like awareness of what the right play is, so it just doesn't get done or whatever, is the degree to which you start to disintegrate your feeling towards yourself, right? So I was literally just talking about confront yesterday with a very good friend of mine. Confronting something doesn't mean to be aggressive. It doesn't mean to be, being confrontational, it doesn't mean being abrasive. Confronting something is just to bring into light what is. It's calling it like it is. Like saying to somebody, your shirt is salmon colored, is confronting the color of their shirt. People associate confront with like discomfort or lack of like coziness or getting along, because it becomes uncomfortable to confront things that are not pleasant. But I can't tell you how many times when I was like climbing out of like my college era, being like broke as fuck with a kid at 21 years old and clueless and, you know, blind, deaf, and dumb 6 ways from Sunday on, like, I don't have medical insurance. How the fuck does the birthing process work? You know, answering a call for a bill collector without being like, hey, this is how I want this to play out. This, if you could just work with me, this is what I can do. And when I would answer the calls from a bill collector and be like, I don't have the money in my account right now. What are my options? I don't know. I'm a human. What can I do? And I'm not like, what can I do? I'm helpless. It's like, literally, what are the different scenarios of how this can play out? I know you're calling me because you guys want to get paid. And I want to be able to make good on, you're just confronting it and you're calling it the way that it is, whether or not it's pleasant. And like you said, if you don't give it the ability to build up and manifest in different ways, you will fucking shock yourself how much like this guy you've wanted to have on your podcast that you've hit up a bunch of times and you've made up all these different stories of what they'll say if you hit them up is like 99% fucking story and very rarely right. Like all of the things that we're worrying about, you know, the movie Van Wilder, I used to fucking love that movie with Ryan Reynolds. He's like, worrying's like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it doesn't really get you anywhere. If you train yourself to be in the habit of acting, so much of the shit that you don't do because of what you perceive is going to be the outcome of it is very rarely the outcome of it. And if you train the muscle of calling it like it is, like someone cuts you off, someone like cuts you in line, instead of being like, yo, bro, and like headbutting the fucking like, you know, middle-aged woman like Liz usually does, or instead of like, you know, just being a complete pushover, excuse me, I was here, or hey, you just cut in front of me. Like, doesn't have to be good, doesn't have to be bad. It just is what it is. A lot of the time, people fucking get in line, no pun intended on this one, using the example, right? But if you provide somebody the opportunity to be like, yeah, I am fucking broke. I don't have any money. I don't know how to handle this. I'm 21 years old and have never answered a bill collector call before and would like to not, I don't know, like just talk to me. You're a human. What can I do? Like the world starts to shift, and instead of being combative and resistive and in constant conflict with yourself and at odds with the world, if you're like, it's not about like fucking answering the call isn't like knowing the answers, knowing how to play it, whatever. It's like, if you have just the fucking balls to attack or at least confront and acknowledge the thing that is occurring, the world has a weird way of fucking getting behind you.
Yeah. And you build your confidence level every time you have a conversation like that, an uncomfortable conversation, or do something you don't want to do. You build your confidence up just a little bit. You do that time after time after time. Eventually you become a fucking savage. You know, people look at the people that are out there that are just crushing it in life, it's like they didn't come out of their mom's vagina just like ready to go fucking dominate and just attack the world. Like they did.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. They did things to, you know, they took action that helped them develop their confidence. And that's really what it comes down to, right?
Incremental competence increases will incrementally build your confidence until, like you said, you're a fucking savage. It's like, dude, treat the little things like the big things and the big things like the little things. I spoke on that and it literally was something that like popped in my head before, like 8 seconds before walking on stage. It's so funny. Every time I have a thing that I want to talk about, I fucking always throw it out the window. And I'm at the point now where I'm like, okay, here are like 3 bullet points that if it presents itself, I'm going to try to touch on and then read the audience, you know, but it popped in my head. Treat the little things like the big things and the big things like the little things. It's like, dude, you don't know where to fucking start. You want to build confidence. You want to build competence. Make your fucking bed. You have dishes in the sink. That is a hugely accurately representative fucking indication that you are okay with things being unresolved in your universe. You have the capacity to resolve that you are looking at that are deteriorating your psyche. And if you have fucking dirty dishes in the sink, my guess is you have a lot of proverbial dirty dishes and a lot of other fucking places in your
right. The thing is though, what I agree with what you're saying 100%. I talk about that often. What I've realized, a lot of people that will hear you say that the way that you just said it, they will have a very, very difficult time making that association as far as, well, how does the dishes correlate to this, this, and this? So it does, but the thing that you will notice immediately, the tangible like thing that you'll notice immediately when you don't have an unmade bed, you don't have a house and a car that's fucking disgusting, you don't have dishes all over the place, you don't have unreplaced rolls of toilet paper. When you start to organize yourself, organize your life, organize your workspace, you will immediately feel better. You'll feel better and you will perform better. It is literally, it's like instantly, just think about like a time where your house is really clean, where you just start your car clean. You're like, yeah, like, you know, you stand up a little straighter, like that little bit of a, you know, grin on your face, you feel better. Now imagine if that was the case every fucking day, the entire world, your entire world would be fucking different. So I agree with what you're saying. It's hard for people to make that connection. Oh, dishes, how could that possibly like matter if, you know, how things go at work or this, whatever. Dude, it does, because the way you feel is predicated off of your surroundings. And you need to set your surroundings up to allow you to feel the very best that you can at all times.
You just fucking nailed on something really, really well. And then I want to actually talk about your existing business and what your grind like looks like on the daily right now. You just said both sides of the coin, like 10 minutes in between the points. And you said the same thing. Just one was in the negative and one was in the affirmative.
Yeah.
Your inner world creates your outer world, right? I mean, that's why the name of the fucking podcast is Inside Out Empowerment for a reason, is because it's not about like, here are the things to do outside in the world to create a business, right? It's not like these are the things to do when you're setting up a pay-per-click campaign. These are the things to do to grow your social media. Like all of that stuff can be a part of it, but it starts internally and then works out into action. And the gap that like between your inner world and your outer world is action. But if you don't have the inner world, the action is going to be inaccurately representative and is not going to dictate and therefore manifest or bring into existence the outer world that you're committed to creating. So the piece that you said that I think is so eloquent and like beautifully put, when you were dealing drugs, getting arrested, quit the strip club, going to fucking, getting in fights, like, you know, driving a fucking Lamborghini, which by the way, I don't know, I'm not really positive that anybody in the world, no matter how much money you have, really needs to be fucking driving a Lamborghini, just straight up. But, you know, look, I like different strokes for different folks, but like people that are aiming at it because they believe that that's like the threshold of like, now I've made it, is like, dude, believe me, like driving a nice sports car, there are way fucking
brother. Let me just tell you, the only fucking reason at that time that I bought and owned a Lamborghini is because I was trying to misrepresent myself as something that I clearly wasn't. As I said, I wanted to portray myself as somebody who was actually like doing something like legit, doing something like important. I wanted to look a certain fucking way. It was completely predicated off false circumstances and my overinflated ego at the time.
Amen, dude. And believe me, like I can relate to that same degree of insecurity. You want to not feel that insecurity and you want to be perceived as somebody that is valuable because you're feeling a lack of like self-worth and a lack of self-love. So you have to like, no shit. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's the thing, is it's like, how many fucking blowjobs does it take until you feel loved? I don't know. Like, I'm down to fucking test the theory, but my guess is it will be an infinite amount, right? It will never fucking get you there. Like, you want to be perceived as an important, valuable person? Go fucking create some goddamn value. The thing you said in the negative that I liked a lot is when you were explaining that scenario, the word you said that like landed for me was toxic. You know what I mean? There was like that toxicity. Like, here's the fucking crux of the issue. You're like, the things that happened to you weren't your fault. Isn't your fault. It's not their fault. I disagree. At least from like in my perspective, I sit my people down when I'm getting not excuses, like they're like irresponsible or like not excuses in like the way that like my 9-year-old will like give me the excuse of why he didn't do his homework, but they're like explaining the circumstance around them that is the reasoning for the lack of production, or for like, we hit this, but we didn't hit this, and this is why. And I'm like, hey, check it out. When we get an order in and we don't get that order out, and there is somebody in my fulfillment center whose sole job is not to ship the orders, because we have about 8 human beings that do that piece of it, but their sole job is to make sure that every single order is out before the door locks at the end of the day and make sure that everybody got their orders out. That's their only job, is quality control. And I check the balance, or I check like the inventory balances, and I check the outstanding order balances, and it's the end of the day and there's like 4 orders that didn't get out. And Joe is solely fucking responsible for making sure that all the pick and packers got this stuff out. Do you know whose fault that is? And they're like, is this a trick question? And I'm like, absolutely not. It's Joe's fault. And I'm like, wrong. It's mine. Every single fucking thing, the mirror in my office was bumped 2 days ago. and fell off the wall and cracked. And I now have a cracked mirror in my office. And Liz is like, whose fault was that? And immediately in my mind, I go, mine. Because every, like, I'm not the one that fucking bumped it, but every single fucking thing in my space is me. It is 100% my fault, my credit, my everything. Not that that needs to be verbalized all the time.
Well, it's funny you say that. I actually, in my office, I actually have a quote on my wall and it is verbalized. It says, everything is your fault. It's on my fucking wall opposite my desk right there to remind me just in case I ever get off track. Sometimes that happens. You know what I mean? Sometimes I go back to thinking something like, no, wait a minute. No, I'm the one who's responsible for training this team. I'm the one who made the decision to hire them. I'm the one who essentially is responsible for every fucking thing that happens with this organization from the top all the way down to the smallest detail. So I get that mentality. That's the mentality that winners have. That is the ultimate form of taking personal responsibility.
Dude, I like that there's a fucking quote. I think I might steal that from you. Everything is your fault. That's fucking awesome. It's not about like I'm the man because I have all the fucking answers. Taking personal responsibility for something is not about like blame allocation. It's a matter of ownership. It's like an internal decision. It's not a matter of like accounting that like four pieces of blame units get dropped in this bucket, nine pieces of like fault. It's like, no, dude, everything that exists in my world is either there because I directly created it or I created a circumstance that allowed and tolerated the existence of that thing at, in my space.
Good or bad?
Good or bad. Good or bad. And taking responsibility for stuff like that I still don't like know what the answer is on how to fix it can very well be I didn't create an environment or I didn't know the fucking answer to how to set up a situation to better deal with that. And I still don't. So you don't have to like just take responsibility for things after like an epiphany moment occurs and you're like, oh, I now know how I would handle that differently, because there's a ton of shit that I'm taking responsibility for that I'm still fucking working on that I still don't have a great fucking solution for. But I'm not sitting there going, this is some developer in India that fucked up this string of code, so now our shit's populating improperly. I don't have the fucking capacity or the know-how, or I don't know who to go to be able to fix this. And I need to figure that out in order for this thing to get fixed.
For the people that are listening that might seem overwhelmed by where they're at compared to the mindset mentality that you're currently at, like there's obviously a lot of steps that, I mean, you didn't start off like that, right? You gradually decided to take responsibility over everything in your world. And you saw as things got better. I mean, imagine that things are getting better. And the more I take responsibility, the better I get, the better I feel. And that's a big one. When you take responsibility, when you take ownership over something, the feeling inside, it's a very empowering feeling, because you know that, you know what, like, although this is fucked up, although I may have made this mistake, although this situation may be going on, because I'm taking responsibility, I have the ability to fucking fix it. And there's something very empowering about that, in my opinion.
100%. And the whole like feeling good thing is not a rah-rah cheerleader speech. It's like, if you're coming from a place where you are stable and fucking powerful and grounded and loving yourself, it gives you the courage to dream. When you are doing things consistently that are competent, whether or not they're comfortable, and you have that confidence, you have the confidence to say, I don't fucking know. You have the confidence to say, I fucked up. And it doesn't hinder your self-love or your self-belief or your faith in yourself to be like, I am fucking this up horribly. Like, this is not happening the way it needs to be happening. Like, I haven't outthought this problem yet.
I want to touch on one thing that you just said. Within my organization, this is a recommendation I have for anybody that's listening, I have for you. I don't allow the words, I don't know, to be said. That's not anything that is allowed to be said from my team. If somebody isn't sure about a question that they're asked or a certain situation going on, the proper response in that capacity is, I don't have that answer, but I'm going to go find out from someone who does. And what that does, that basically puts them in a situation where they have to take responsibility. One of our core values is extreme ownership, right? So to me, if I hear somebody say, I don't know, I don't hear that. The way it sounds in my head and my ears is, I don't care. And that's not something that I allow to happen in our culture, where there's a lot of different departments, but we operate as one team. We have cross-training. Each department is responsible on a given day of the week of going and actually working a shift within the other departments. That way they have a better understanding of what the other team is responsible for, so they can understand the functionality, the fluidity of it all. And it also creates a dynamic where it's not like, oh, well, the whatever department, one fucking team.
That's a good fucking idea. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't come up with it on my own.
That's all good. I fucking steal shit all day long. Like, there's only so many ways you can repackage truth.
And then honestly, it was one of many things that I did that really just helped our company go from, you know, where we were at to the next level. I mean, it does so many different things besides just have the team, like improved team cohesion.
Integration,
which is important, but it also, you're training your team to be versatile and mobile. So if there's a situation in one department, you have a bunch of fucking hitters from another department that can rapidly deploy and go help out their teammates and get the job done. And there's just a lot of value in that. You're training people, you're training your team on new skills, helping them develop their skills outside of what, you know, their normal job description is. And I'd say that the biggest upside to it is it gives everybody a better understanding of what the other departments are doing. So when they're making decisions, they can factor in the knowledge that they have about the other department or what they're doing. I'd say, oh, we're waiting on this. What the hell are those guys doing? So, well, you know what they're doing. Everybody knows what they're doing. So it's no complaining like that. One team, one fight, baby.
I like that. Yeah. One team, one fucking fight. And the positive element of the coin was personal responsibility, saying it in the negative instead of in the affirmative that you said.
What I was saying is I don't accept I don't know from anyone ever. Yeah.
So another piece of it was like you're developing skills in one department to be able to proactively go get active, right? To rapidly deploy, as you said. And that's a really great way of cultivating a positive, like, internal landscape, not just in the organization, but in the individuals, because it responsibility is the positive, like said it in the negative is it alleviates the ability to generate or to rely on like the created resentments of like, it's shipping's fault, it's ordering's fault, it's finance's fault, it's sales fault.
And that's always the case in organizations simply because they don't understand what that other department is doing. They don't understand the process. They don't understand, you know, what could possibly, it's like, do you honestly think that this other department is just sitting around, like not doing what they need to do so they can fuck your day up? I mean, do you think that that's like on their agenda, like to do that? It's like, no, like, but you know, people quickly want to default to the negative. And you know, the reason that we do this, our company in the last 2 years has grown 282%. That's massive growth for a year seven company. And with that kind of growth comes a shitload of problems, like so many fucking problems. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. They're called growing pains for a reason.
Yeah. And when you're always, you know, working hard and you're obsessed with progress the way that I am, I mean, we're always going to have fucking problems. We're always going to have growing pains because we're going to keep fucking growing. We're going to keep doing the work. So it's good to have people that are able to address problems proactively and understand like what's going on in the other departments. So if somebody, you know, somebody goes down, somebody calls in, or if we just have a big fucking problem and need to make some, it also, you know, inherently increases their value within the organization. Because not only now are they proficient at this, which is what they were hired for, now they can do this, this, and this. So when it comes time to, you know, check out the performance review and look at a possible compensation increase, I mean, they're more valuable than they were when they came in the organization, which, you know, the more valuable you are, the more money you're going to fucking make. I mean, that's just a fucking fact.
And that's why I said it like, you know, 3 minutes ago, you want to feel more valuable, go become more valuable, go create value. You know,
I don't think people understand that. I think they think that, and then again, it's a result of a culture. Most businesses, they don't have systems or processes or a community set up
that foster that.
Right, exactly. So in my company, I make personal development mandatory. We have our whole building wired with speakers, and we do a morning meeting. After the meeting, there's a 90-second gratitude session followed by a short, impactful motivation video. Then all the team is required to either shake hands or hug every single member from the department just before we go into battle. It's kind of a ritual.
My man. I like it.
Throughout the day, we do 1 hour of personal development, whether it's an audiobook or podcast. I mean, they plan it a month in advance. It's on every day's calendar. And basically, I'm forcing the good shit in their brain because I want them to know what I know. I want them to feel what I feel. And I want to not just make them better, you know, employees and assets of Nutrition Solutions. I want to make them better human beings, because I know that the secret that everybody's looking for, the big fucking shortcut to success, whatever success means to you, I know that that's in the personal development. And it can be as easy as pressing the fucking play button.
That's why we're fucking here having this conversation. You know, the amount that you can elevate and inundate your mind, and with how much I think everybody should be fucking listening to podcasts. And I think with how busy shit has become, especially in the ADD culture, I've never been good at like slowing down and meditating. It's not my thing, you know, to like, I have done it. I've gone through phases where I'm better and worse, but I've never been good at like, just like pausing and like showing up the thoughts. But what I do well is make sure that a lot of the noise that is coming in, instead of just like problem, solution, stimulus, response, a lot of it is conceptually stimulating and expansive. And in the world of passive consumption, I was explaining this again yesterday, while we are moving and while we are producing and while we are driving, there is no fucking excuse why you can't be growing at the same time, listening to somebody's voice that like agree, disagree, like is giving you a perspective that's different.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is, like, we live in a very busy world full of fucking distractions. And although when I started my personal development journey, I did read a lot of books. But again, to revisit what I said earlier, I was a drug dealer at the time. I didn't have a real job, so I had a lot of time. Dude, I totally get, and I'm very understanding and empathetic to the fact that it is hard to read. It is hard to sit down and fucking focus, allocate X amount of times to read a fucking book. So I don't recommend people read books. If that's your thing, great. The research and the statistics show that reading is clearly not most people's fucking thing. But dude, it is not very fucking difficult to 30 minutes to an hour a day. I recommend an hour a day to hit the fucking play button when you're taking a shower, brushing your teeth, commuting to work, you know, while you're, you know, at work, pretending to fucking work, in the bathroom, taking a shit. Like, dude, like, there's no fucking excuse. And honestly, I don't think it's a matter of people not thinking they have the time. It's a challenge communicating to people the fact that by doing this, by just putting that positive information, whether it's a podcast, an audiobook, it'll change your life fucking forever. And it's very, very hard for people to make that connection. And I get that, but I feel I have to do my very best to try to explain. That's what it fucking is. That is what I have done. That is what I continue to do. And to the day I fucking die, literally the day that they are lowering my casket into the ground, like earlier that day, I would have done my hour of personal development, just because I know that is the only fucking thing that is going to make me better, that has made me better, and will continue to make me better.
Fucking amen. It's hard to get more punchy than that, but it drives the goddamn point home. The thing with personal development and success is I at least had this perception in my mind that something was going to happen when I hit a certain amount of something. And I've blown so far past like the numbers that I set, being like, you know, obviously it was like, right, you know, a goal without a number is like just a fucking arbitrary want, wish, hope, whatever. There's nothing tangible to it. And a number without a time frame is like sort of a direction, but it's certainly as fuck is not a goal. And it certainly is not a commitment, right? So I set, you know, goals with numbers, quantifiably, like tangible, measurable. You can't measure it. You can't manage it. Like hit this amount by this, because the numbers I was setting that were like astronomical for me at the time were attached to this perception that like happiness and success and the feeling of whatever was like somehow attached to that level of production. And it sounds so fucking foo-foo and like bullshit new age, whatever, that like it's in the journey, it's not in the destination. Here's the reality. There is no destination. There's no finish line. You just said until the fucking, like what you are talking about is the finish line in and of itself, that like, it's not a matter that it's never ending, which it is in one sense, because you're saying before you are dying, earlier the day when they're leveling your casket to the ground, which by the way would be bizarre if you died and they buried you the same day, just saying. The accomplishment is in the practice of that thing. You're not doing that thing so that one day you can have 10 million. in the bank, or 50 million in the bank, or 100 million in the bank. It's creating that those micro shifts consistently, because dude, you said you don't fucking resent your dad. You don't resent, you know, whatever, like,
I don't resent the kid who set me up, you know, some years back, and, you know, about destroyed my entire life and destroyed my business temporarily. I don't resent him. I mean, because I put myself in that situation.
Yeah. So it's the difference between responsibility and resentment. And let me tell you something, as great as like total responsibility is, this is the part that was like said in the negative instead of in the affirmative that I was like getting at before. Resentment is like fucking swallowing poison and expecting somebody else to die. It is fucking toxic. It holds weight.
It distorts the way everything that you look at. If you have resentment going through your veins and in your mind, it literally distorts every single thing that you see and everything that you feel. It's a fact. And the unfortunate part is you don't know, right? You don't know until you get to a point where you no longer have it. You're like, holy shit. Like, for the people listening to this, I mean, I'm 35 years old now, okay? For the first 28 years of my life, I was a shit bag. I did not live my life in a way that is conducive or consistent with like being a good person, okay? To this point in my life, there have been more things I'm not proud of than things that I am. But I know the difference now between living with no resentment, living in a state of gratitude, doing the things that I need to do to make continuous improvement in my life to get better and to bring the people that are around me up with me. I know what that feels like in comparison to doing it the other way. And the difference is remarkable. And that's why we're here talking about it, not saying, oh, well, you know, you're fucking a loser and, you know, you should do this and do that. It's like, no, like wherever you're at right now, you have a responsibility to get better, because that is the only way psychologically, mentally, physiologically, that you will feel fulfilled and experience happiness in life.
In the words of Ollie G, if any of you guys are old enough to remember him, booyakasha. You guys want an actionable fucking step on how to move towards exactly what this motherfucker is spitting truth about right now? I want you to think about something or someone, a situation that you resent. Get it in your brain. Think about how it feels resenting them. And now, very honestly, I want you to think about the role or the part that you played in the circumstance that allowed it to be the case, that fed that motivated them to be that way, that made you the type of person that could fall for that type of thing, whatever it is. Think about what element you can take responsibility for, and then whether or not you have the capacity to own that situation as a gift to yourself. I want you to ask God or your higher self or your subconscious mind or Buddha or Allah or whoever the fuck is listening for the strength and the courage to forgive them. And if you have the capacity to flow that person that you are justifiably resenting, who has actually pragmatically wronged you, and in the scale of justice and right and wrong and blame allocation, you win 100%. You are fully justified in every single thing you feel. There is no right and wrong to it. You win the right and wrong argument. Let it go. Forgive them. And let me give you a step further. I want you to fucking, if you have the courage and if you have the power and if you want to improve your life in this instant, I want you to fucking say a little prayer, flow them a little energy, hoping that they win, and flow them love and flow them power. I'm doing it right now. I'm like feeling a little bit of, I have like chills on my arm. And if you have the fucking courage and the strength and the capacity, not for them, because it's not what they deserve or don't deserve, it's a matter of loving yourself enough to alleviate yourself of the burden of carrying that resentment and anger around with you. Because there is no reason for you to limit your own power and your own capacity to love and to dim your light and to withhold yourself as a gift to this planet because somebody else fucked up. Change of speed, I know. And for those of you that have the capacity to do that, and for those of you that don't, I love you the same way. Chris, tell me about your grind on the daily now.
Oof, man. Yeah. So, you know, that was powerful, man. I really, really hope that the people listening actually did that. That's powerful stuff. I mean, we only have so much energy, like a cell phone, right? Energy, the cell phone gradually sucks the battery out. We're at 82%, we're at 16%, whatever. When you hold resentment towards other people, you're giving up your light, you're giving up your charge.
You are allocating energy units that can otherwise be spent on production and love and creation and connection and fucking making your and everybody else's world better. Why?
Self-sabotage. That was very powerful. And I think a lot of people get some perspective out of that. As far as the grind out, you know.
What are you aiming at? What are you doing? How are you doing it? What is your strategy? What does your goal look like? Explain to me your have. Explain to me your finish line. Explain to me like what some of your benchmarks are.
There's no finish line. The objective is to continue to get better. I am very fortunate to be in a position now where I don't have to be at our headquarters every single day, looking at everything, looking over everyone's shoulder. I'm super.
Where is your headquarters?
Tampa, Florida. Our main headquarters is Tampa, Florida. You know, I have what I believe to be an amazing team. I have some great people that work at our company that handle the normal daily operation of business. I've been able to recently step back and focus more on the strategic picture, focus on actually working on the business as opposed to in the business. And that's something we all talk about throughout the entrepreneurial rise. And it's like, yeah, when the fuck is it going to happen? It seems like it'll never happen. And just recently for me, I'm at a point now where it is. I'm able to do less things, but actually spend more time and energy on the things that truly matter, the things that only I can do, and the things that I actually really enjoy doing. And I wouldn't be there if it wasn't for some of the people that, you know, I have on the team that are driving the ship on a day-to-day basis. But every day, you know, I get up, I start my day early, begin with some gratitude, try to prime myself to feel good for the day. And I get up early in the morning and I practice gratitude exercises. That doesn't mean I enjoy getting up every morning early, nor does it mean that I wake up feeling super grateful, right? I get up and I do the things that I need to do to make myself fucking feel good, right?
You're priming your state, motherfucker. You didn't come out of your mom's vagina grateful. You have to train that shit.
Yeah. Go get a workout in, you know, get some good.
Chemistry. Oh, you work out?
Yeah. Occasionally. I do yoga as well. Hot yoga. That's actually true. That wasn't a joke. I just recently started hot yoga and I love it.
You want to talk about an endorphin release? Try fucking sweating a couple of gallons of liquid out of your fucking pores when you're used to lifting like heavy sets of something. You're like, I thought I was athletic. You know what I mean? Try getting in crow for like 18 seconds and you're like, why are these chicks that are like 1/8 my size able to, like, you know?
Yeah, it's a little damaging on the old ego, but, you know, we just keep going and get better every time. You know, these days, like, honestly,
What do you weigh?
195 right now.
How tall are you?
5'7".
Yeah, you look big. That's why you're I'm like, dude, I would like. The whole Instagram thing, it's like when you don't know how tall someone is, like I would have guessed you were like, you know, 218, 225, you know, something in there.
Yeah.
This dude's got delts for days.
Well, thank you. So, you know, these days, basically, I do everything I can to focus on high priority tasks that will help me grow my business and, you know, train the leadership within my company to reach the next level. We film a lot of video content. We have this behind the scenes segment that we're doing now.
Hang on real quick. Give the name of your company.
Yeah, the name of the company, Nutrition Solutions.
And you guys are a meal prep shop, right?
Yep. We do customized meals. We talked about that at the beginning. Customized meals that are basically catered towards people that are trying to either, you know, lose weight, build muscle. So, you know, these days we're just trying to get better every single day, man. My time now, I'm fortunate to be in a position where I'm not running around wearing 300 hats, you know, I'm down to about 17, which, you know how that goes. And I have an awesome team in place that allows me to actually focus on the strategic picture, work on our branding, work on basically doing all the things that, you know, we need to do to get this business to the next level. Like right now, I'm kind of like a PR kick. I'm doing a lot of interviews, a lot of podcasts, getting a lot of different opportunities to, you know, do some different stuff. So that's really cool. Yeah, man, just trying to get the very most out of every single day. Just get better and just do what I can to make the people around me better in the process.
And are you building your personal brand in the process? I feel like you are.
Yeah. So in the beginning, when, you know, I was like the sole responsible bearer of the Nutrition Solutions social media brand, it was kind of...
What is your IG, by the way?
Yeah. My personal IG is at Chris Cavallini, C-H-R-I-S, CABALLINI. I'm on IG and Facebook. When I was, started the business, that was like the main focus, and, you know, building the business. So my personal brand kind of took a backseat. Now I'm in a better position. I have some people that run our social media for us.
Boom, followed.
Boom, thank you.
Mazel tov. I'm RevLabs Prez, by the way.
Perfect. Yeah, got it. So I am trying, to grow my personal brand. I have a message. I have a story. I think, you know, a lot of people can resonate with some of the things that I've been through and some of the adversity that I've been able to overcome, because it's relatable. You know, I've been through some real shit. I think there's a lot of other people out there who've been through some real shit. And sometimes you just need to hear the right thing from the right person at the right time to have that deep spark and that catalyst to start making the changes that, you know, you need to make to create the life that you want. I essentially have taken on the responsibility of doing everything in my power to be that spark for as many people as possible.
You're a fellow brother in arms. You and I are on the same fight. I like it. It's beautiful. And if it is to be, it's up to me, right? There's plenty of people spitting motivational content. It's not about everything you say being unique, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard a message 50 fucking times in my life. And then when it's said by a certain person with a certain tonality, with a certain vibe,
or it can be said at the same tone by the same person you've heard it before, but you might be
in a new unit of time.
Exactly. Where you're ready to accept it as truth. That's a big one.
So you know what? It's up to somebody that has a message to keep fucking spitting it, because you don't know where and when it's landing. The amount of like inflow that I get, like, I'm so grateful to Liz for pushing me to tip over. I mean, I was blogging and posting on Instagram, and I was doing a lot of like, I like working one-on-one with people a lot. I really like a lot of the stuff you said about like company culture. I always have, you know, one, two max, like mentees, like full blown, like every aspect of their life that I'm working with super hard and helping to take responsibility for like upping their game and training them in different aspects. And like,
overall.
Oh yeah, that. Yeah, exactly. But I'm so thankful for the podcast piece, because the amount of like, you don't fucking know who's reading your shit. You don't know who's listening to your shit. Like, yeah, you have your like your crew and you have your followers, but like, you don't know how many people are not commenting and not saying anything that need that voice and that need like the responsibility to put out a
2%, brother. That's what it is. I think 2% of people are actually commenting, actually sending those messages to let you know the impact. That, I mean, most people just don't think to do that. They don't realize how good it makes somebody like you or I feel when they actually take the time to do that. Like, they think, oh, they probably hear this shit all the time. It's like, well, regardless of how little or how often I do hear it, it still feels fucking amazing every time. And it provides that fuel, that fire to keep fucking going, keep pushing, to produce content, put out content, record a podcast on a day where you're stressed the fuck out of your eyeballs. The last fucking thing you want to do is produce some content. So yeah, there's a lot more people than you probably realize that are being impacted in a very profound, positive way by the stuff that you're putting out there.
Yeah, a few days ago, somebody hit me up and gave me their story. And I always say, like, I'm going to start doing this, which is like, you know, read like a message I get to like shout that person or like do like a review of the week or whatever. But like, it just always kind of A, slips my mind, and B, feels a little bit like...
Yeah, you feel like it's... So, okay, let me help you with that. I know exactly what you mean. You feel like by putting it out there, you're like showing off and whatever. Dude, you get to change that perspective. I used to feel that same way too. I share stuff, I'll like block out the name or whatever, but it's good to show other people like that, hey, like I listened to this person that you're listening to. I did what he said, and my life went from fucking here to here, because perhaps it could inspire someone else who's listening to what you're saying, but not taking the action and not putting in the fucking work. The testimonials, man, they're everything. That's why testimonials in industry are super effective. This is literally the same fucking thing, just with a little bit different product, so to speak.
I feel that. So I guess format and structure is something that I don't generally thrive with naturally. It's something that I get to put extra effort into when I want it to show up structured and formatted. And ironically, you know, the rankings that I've achieved with podcasting, or the amount that it's like, the amount of effort I've put in to like working the like PR element, or like driving traffic, which has been zero, or like doing my circuit on a bunch of other podcasts, or like all of the things that should be going on that I just am not doing, because all I'm doing is recording and releasing. the ratio that I'm used to of the amount of like effort to the amount of production is way out of sync from all of the other things I'm used to doing, which is like effort, strategy, effort, you know, parlaying, creating synergy, all this stuff. And then boom, it starts to blossom. This has been like, I released a couple of things and I don't know what the fuck is going right or going not right that is making it what it is, but I almost like don't want to make it more structured because I'm an ADD motherfucker. Like I say and speak from how I think and how I feel. And I almost don't want to make it like, here is the segment for the review of the week. You know what I mean? So it's more like, I guess, but what you say does have a point that like showing somebody else actually fucking doing the things might inspire someone that's listening. Like, this is interesting. This is entertaining. I like the people that are on, like it like mentally picks me up, but I'm not, the pragmatism isn't there for me because I'm not bridge. It helps my inner world, but I'm not, it's not changing my outer world because I'm not bridging the gap with action. It might inspire them to do so. So I'm actually being a taker by not giving that piece to elevate the consciousness in that way. Feedback received.
Yeah.
Contrary to my big mouth, I actually have two ears that function beautifully.
I've noticed.
I rely on them more than the right words. Like people think the most important element of sales is like having a silver tongue, and it's not. It's having open ears.
And actually caring, legitimately caring about solving somebody's problem and not just lining your fucking pockets. That is the differentiating factor between successful salespeople and, you know, not successful salespeople. And by the way, if you're in business of any kind, you're a salesperson, whether that's on your fucking business card or, you know, you want to believe like in life, in business, there's always someone who's selling and always someone who's being sold. Question you have to ask yourself, which one are you?
Is that a Jordan Belfort or a boiler room quote?
Neither, really. I think that's just
that. There is a sale made on every call. I think it might have been Glenn Ross.
Which one is that?
Glengarry Glenn Ross. Always be closing where you put the coffee down. Coffee is for fucking closers. You don't get coffee. You know, it's like Alec Baldwin who gives like, you know, walks in the rain. He's like, the leads are not weak. You are weak. There's a sale made on every call. Either you are selling.
Yeah. It's not just on calls, man. It's in life. Like
I think this was like 98. So most of the interfacing was either like door to door or like on the, you know, dialing for leads, but 100%. Speaking of sales, what are you doing right now strategically to grow your business?
So Facebook ads are big for us right now. Obviously, you know, we leverage our Instagram. We have influencers that, you know, we have that represent our brand that do posts for us and such, draw some attention. Our Instagram, we get a lot of traffic, a lot of business, a lot of sales through Instagram. We're selling a lifestyle, right? We're selling meals. We showcase our actual product. People like seeing that. They see that it's fucking good. And, you know, that is an easy outlet for us to convert. Facebook ads, I would say, as far as paid advertising methods are concerned, Facebook ads this year, without question, have been our biggest source of conversions.
Are you running video ads?
We are. I would say it's about 75% of our ads that we're running in videos.
Good, man. Are you running into like a general e-commerce site, or do you kick it over to a landing page in a funnel?
No, it goes over to our programs page, which basically has a ton of cool information on there. It's not just like straight to the throat. There's like a food spend calculator on there, some different tools that people can actually like take the time to like figure out what they're spending on food now, the time that they're actually investing doing that, what they're getting in return, informative videos for people that, I mean, may not want to use our company. Maybe they just want to learn how to meal prep on their own on a budget. We have tools like that on the website. So we're just trying to provide as much upfront value as humanly possible on our website. And, you know, create a situation where people can go to our website for other reasons other than just, you know, give us their money.
And how big of a span do you guys service?
All 50 states.
Very cool. How does that work? You have different hubs, or is it?
Yeah, no, everything's out of the main headquarters in Tampa. We ship everything overnight. All the food is prepared and, you know, within 36 hours shipped overnight to our clients' doors, depending on where you reside in the country, to determine the day that you get your meals. But everything is set up where we try to make it as simple as possible, right? Like every week, you don't have to like go online and say, okay, click, I want meals, or like click, I want this, I want that. We have a new menu that changes every single week. No two menus are the same. We try to set it up because our clients don't have to do a fucking thing except, you know, get their meals off their doorstep, heat it up, eat, and reap the benefits of eating well. So it's set up strictly for convenience for busy people that are, you know, living an active lifestyle and have the desire and willingness to look better naked.
Amen. Yeah, that want to hit their fucking macros. I'm at the point where, like, if I didn't have people that, like, made the meals and, like, put them on my desk, I joke around that, like, without my number two and number three, let alone, like, my accountants and my operations people, like, I would starve to death because I get so lost in my this is my situation. I'm gonna, like, turn you around real quick. This is my office right here, a dual monitor sitch. I'm, like, tied in. There's San Diego. I'm not really doing a great job here, but I got, like, statistics around me all the time and people coming in and out that, like, the last thing that I naturally make room for is the slowing down to prep or to, like, get the macros right. And anything that deviates or distracts from production has been eliminated from my space and my world, which is a dangerous double-edged sword, because, like, self-care and keeping the source strong is, like, one of the crucial elements of being able to produce at a high level. But it's something that, at least for me, takes conscious effort. So I'm a big believer in meal prep companies or having that piece figured out or automated, so it doesn't require a conscious effort each time it needs to occur.
Dude, the quality of your life is heavily dictated by the quality of food you put in your body. That's a fact, undeniable fact, right? Like, our health is everything. It dictates the way we feel, the way we look, the way we perform, our confidence. You don't need a meal prep company to eat with. If you have the time, if you have the discipline and the skill set to cook and eat, you know, healthy consistently, that's fucking awesome. Like, good for you. Like, rock on. Keep doing what you're doing. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people don't have the time. They don't have the desire. They don't have the skills to meal prep, which is, you know, why our company has seen a lot of the success that it has, because it's in demand. I mean, it's a thing that people need, and it's not an expense, man. It's a fucking investment. Like,
yeah, you're going to be paying for food anyway.
Yeah, and let's talk about what people normally pay to eat. Right, they go to the drive-thru or the nearest convenience, or eating shit, like, you know, drinking sodas, eating stuff out of the snack machine. Shit that's going to make them, you know, look like shit, feel like shit, perform like shit. Just taking shaving years, minutes, seconds, whatever, off their lifespan by eating these things that weren't meant to go in our bodies. You know, and it's a very real problem, because people are getting more and more accustomed to feeling like shit, but they don't realize they feel like shit. So, oh, I'm always tired. I'm always tired. And their buddies are always tired as well. So, oh, it's like, oh, he's tired too. So we're so tired. Like, no. You're not supposed to be tired. You're supposed to fucking feel amazing. And honestly, unfortunately, today, 3/4 of the adult population in this country are categorized as overweight or obese. There's over $190 billion that's being spent treating obesity-related illness. The average human's life expectancy is going down for the first time in the history of the species. But that is indicative of the things that we're eating, that the decisions we're making. We're making decisions to put things in our mouth every day that are fucking up our life. And it's super, super sad, you know, and without turning this into like a promotion about my company, like, I want people to eat good. Like, I don't care if they're using our company, another company like ours, or just taking the time to prepare healthy meals on their own. You have a responsibility to be well, to take care of yourself, to do the things that you need to do to feel good so you can provide the life that you, your family, your kids, your friends, you deserve. I mean, if you're not taking care of yourself, you're going to feel like shit all the time. You're going to be tired. You're going to be lethargic. You're going to be aggravated. You're going to be annoyed. And you're not going to be able to perform at the level that you need to experience a quality of life that you all really want at the end of the day.
Yeah. My grandfather used to say, don't make decisions from your hat. Hungry, horny, angry, or tired. Right? So the fuel that you're putting in your body is a fundamental piece of your functionality. It's a like, you want your brain to function better. You want to be able to see more angles. You want clarity. You want high horsepower thought processes and good judgment and the capacity to, like, move mountains and create enterprise and connect deeply. It's going to take more than a meal prep company, but you bet your ass you better have a solution in place for putting the right type of shit in your body. So, like, the organs that are tied into oxygenating your fucking brain and your blood flow and your systems and your, like, liver being able to cleanse toxins function at least to the capacity of allowing you to be able to put effort into the other things that are going to make you produce. let alone how you feel, which is, again, everything you're, it's not against what you're saying. It's just in addition to it.
It's not just about looking good naked. I mean, that's important, but in the hierarchy of priorities, I think it's like four or five at the end of the day. Like, it's about eating good to live a strong fucking life. You know what I'm saying? Like, the looking good part, that's on there and that's important, but it's the way we feel. The way we feel. I mean, we only have one life and it goes by so fucking fast, brother. And I just think that we need to do everything in our power to get the very most out of the short time that we have on this earth. And a big part of improving that process, the time that we're here, is being mindful of the decisions we're making, things that we're putting into our body on a daily basis.
Touche. So if somebody wants to get in touch with you for meal prep services and or connect with you personally because they just fucking like your vibes and want to hear more about your insight on shit, how do they reach out and be able to touch you?
I appreciate you asking. So the company's called...
Plug your shit.
Yeah, yeah. The company is called Nutrition Solutions. Our website is nutritionsolutions.com. Nutrition Solutions on Instagram and Facebook. If you want to hit me up on social media, I put out, I would say, the bulk of my content on Instagram. It's at Chris Cavallini. And I'm also on Facebook at the same. And definitely hit me up on my social if you like, you know, some of the things that I said today and, you know, any of the things that we talked about resonate with you. I put out stuff like that all the fucking time on my social platforms. So definitely hit me up on there.
Dope. So I want to hear an actionable step, something you can put into practice to live a more empowered life and be able to achieve the results that they want to be achieving.
So I'm going to make it super, super fucking simple, like just to make it easy so everybody here can actually do it right now, should they actually have the desire to. If you haven't already, go into your smartphone and download the Audible app. The Audible app is where I listen to all of my audiobooks, and it has changed my life profoundly. And if you download the Audible app, you're going to have to set up an account. It's about like $13.99 per month. That $13.99 a month will literally pay itself off a million times over. If you download the Audible app, and I'm not affiliated with Audible, by the way, you download the Audible app and you listen to the books for 3 months and you do that.
I do the same shit. I like plug shit all the time. And like the people are like, dude, you should like grab an affiliate link. It's like super easy to do. And I'm like, yeah, but I almost like don't even want to fucking make money. Like
get the Audible app. Start downloading books and, you know, a book, dude, just Google every book on
drop some dope books.
I would say my top three would be Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life by Brian Tracy. The 10X rule is good. Relentless.
10X. Is that Grant Cardone?
Yeah. 10X Grant Cardone. Relentless by Tim Grover. Art of War. Goals. Another good one by Brian Tracy. How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Napoleon Hill. Yeah, we got all the same.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. Fucking, dude, just start there. And honestly, the good thing about those books is you could literally listen to them 100 times a piece and hear something different every time. And that is the beauty of personal development. Depending on where you're at in your journey, you might hear something that will impact you in a totally different way than it did a year ago when you heard it. So do that. And from this point forward, commit to 60 minutes every single day of putting something in your brain that's positive in nature that will make you a better human being. Okay, you owe that to yourself. You weren't put on this planet to live a mediocre life and, you know, just pay your fucking bills and be stressed all the fucking time when, you know, you hit a little speed bump and, you know, you get set back. If you want to do great things, you have to take action that's consistent with that. And honestly, the first and most important step is the personal development. In order to get where you need to be, you need to start doing things that you've never done and learning things that you don't already know. And all the answers to the questions that you seek are within the pages of these books. So the ball's in your court.
What the fuck are you going to do about it?
And I hope to fucking take it and run it in the end zone and spike that motherfucker, because
I want to see some touchdown dances after this one.
So, well, thank you so much for this, brother. I really appreciate it. It's fun. I definitely want to do it again soon.
100%. Chris, I want to acknowledge you for the way you're showing up in the world, my dude. I appreciate you being a fucking brother of the message and carrying fucking light to people and being a conduit for fucking people picking themselves up in a way that's powerful and relatable and more about the altruism than about the preaching. So love and respect on your fucking grind. If I can empower your purpose or there's things, sharing influencers, sharing ideas, whatever, hit me up. You have a friend and I'm down to be an ally.
Dude, 100%, man. I enjoyed this talk. I enjoy your vibes. And let's connect again soon and do some more good in the world.
We will. Thanks so much for stopping by, buddy.
All right, brother. Have a good one.
Inside Out Empowerment is written and produced by me, Joshua Nussbaum. When it comes to all things editing, mixing, mastering, I have to give hats off. Resonate Recordings has been amazing to work with. If you have a podcast or you're thinking about starting a podcast, I knew I had a bunch of stuff I wanted to say, didn't really know how I was going to go about putting it into a podcast format, get it into an RSS feed, upload it to iTunes, all that stuff. And the owner of Resonate Recordings, Jacob, has really stepped up to the plate. Go ahead and mention Inside Out Empowerment when you talk to them, and you'll get your first episode mixed and mastered for free. If you guys are looking to level up your life and be entertained in the process, go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss my weekly podcast. I'm highly responsive. Please, I'm going to leave the show notes below, complete with all the ways you can connect with me on Instagram at RevLabsPrez, on YouTube at Joshua Nussbaum. This is here for you guys. Please reach out, connect, like, comment, subscribe, ask me questions, tag me. I'm here for you. Let's tailor this bad boy and live an empowered life. Talk soon.